You're listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
Alrighty. It's Happy Hour again. Welcome back.
Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. And hold on there, Jason. Let's get that mic pulled up. Happy Hour with special all the way around, I guess. We're going to have some brewers in here. We've got Jason sitting across. You can see him in this camera. Happy IPA day to you.
This is the best day of the year.
Happy IPA day, dude.
Happy IPA day, everyone.
Who makes this stuff up? I mean, I'm happy they did, but...
You know, I got a question today from my wife. It said, so what's the significance of the first Thursday in August, and why is it IPA day? And I said, you know what? I really should know why today is IPA day. I don't know. Do you know?
I don't know. No, I have to imagine it comes back to something to do with Hallmark, maybe. They've got a claim on every...
Oh, do they have a happy IPA day card?
It wouldn't surprise me.
It's totally made up, isn't it?
At this point, people want to validate themselves, and so every day is going to be somebody's celebration. As I said the other day on our Instagram, hashtag made up holiday.
Yeah, that was... Well, I really want to run with that holiday.
I think we still...
Wait. Remind me, what was it? Because I'm losing it.
National Clean Out Your Beer Cellar Day.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's
fantastic.
I was hilarious, though? One. I was trying to tag my own photo, and I went back... Each one of us in the group had our own variation of the hashtag.
Oh, right. But I think we got the official one now. It's National Clean Out Your Beer Cellar Day.
We had one that was National Clean Out Your Beer Cellar Day.
Which apparently gets rid of your hashtag.
When you put in any kind of punctuation, kills it. And then there was National Clean Out Your Cellar Day, National Clean Out Your Beer Day.
I think National Clean Out Your Beer Cellar Day. So we just need to pick a date and run with it and then have a party.
I'm on.
You just bring bottles out of your... Jason took it to extreme. Did you tell him what you opened?
No, I saw that, too.
Tell us what. So the night was... It wasn't as long as our brewery tour night, but the night was a little bit long. We invited our friends from Wolf Creek for a complex reason. Yeah. One, we just want to hang out. We haven't seen them in a while.
I think the premise was some kind of meeting.
Yeah.
That was the premise.
But then I also forgot my debit card.
I don't need
card.
A meeting. Just to open
if
up
If you remember, I forgot my debit card at... Wolf
right.
Creek in Valencia.
So it was twofold.
Yeah, so we had a business meeting to talk about possible shows. We had just to hang out with the friends, and we had bring my debit card, please, and I'll pay you through beer.
And shout out to Wolf Creek. Talk about service. They brought this guy's card all the way to Ventura.
They're awesome. Joseph and Anastasia need extra credit. Really cool crew. Great beer. So they came out. We all sat around, had some good beers, and then we went back to the apartment where my wife was making pizza, and we had more great beer in the fridge. Eric put some homebrew in there. We're like, let's, you know, get the assistant brewer from Wolf Creek to try some of Eric's homebrew.
Yeah.
Had a good time. And
did he know you were doing that?
He did. He all actually right. dropped it off.
Okay.
And at one point, we were all looking around, like, the night's winding down. I'm like, are we going to do this? Because we were talking all night about how I had this six-pack of West Veteran in my closet. And I'm like, afraid to touch it. I'm like, I don't know.
We told him not to open it ever.
I'm like, I want to open it. Joby said to
never. Ever.
No. Just pass it on to your grandkids.
He wanted to will it to my kin.
It'd be one of those things. You'd be that guy who saved like the six pack of.
Don't ever do this.
Never open it.
And I finally broke into the pressure and I said, you know what? I want to taste it. I haven't tasted it. So we put two in the fridge. And
was this your first time?
I think it was my first time.
Well, according to Eric, it was your second time. But
you know what? You never truly remember your first time anyway.
it's just like trying to get it out of the way, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So how was the second time?
It was really nice. It had a good crispness, a little bit of maltiness. There was a certain mystic quality when the cap popped off the bottle.
What was the cap? What was on the cap?
I don't remember. I was worried about what was in the bottle.
Well, and... Actually, I'm a little jealous because the bottle that I had to smuggle all the way back from Belgium was just a really simple bottle with the actual 12 on the
12
cap.
On it. Mm-hmm.
But they made a special America six-pack bottle.
Screen. It's
silk screen with the 12 Roman numerals on it.
Oh, no. I saw that.
And yeah,
is
it's
a
very
wax,
fancy.
Is it a wax-covered bottle, too?
No, it's not wax-covered.
Super fancy.
It's just a cap. But it came with two glasses. I've got four bottles still in the box, and I've got one in the bottle still in the fridge waiting for you guys.
So he has had one before.
No,
I'm just doing.
Six.
I'm doing the math. No,
no
he said
six.
He has four waiting for us.
Four
one
in
waiting.
The box.
Right.
One
oh, one in
the
fridge. All right.
Waiting for you guys, and one in my gullet.
Yeah. What? After celebrating IPA Day for the last hour or so, my math is failing me.
Yeah, so I wonder.
I think you lost a little knowledge when you cut your hair, like Samson.
Yeah. You gotta be careful.
I know the my hippie mystique is gone.
So, I wonder if IPA Day started the same way that our National Clean Out Your Cellar Day started.
It
hey, man, I love IPA. You love IPA? Let's make an IPA Day.
And I think Jason is on to something here too, especially with this first hashtag. And so when people start searching back through the interwebs for the first time that the IPA or National Clean Out Your Beer Closet Day was, they're going to come.
No. Beer Cellar. But beer I like cellar. Beer Closet, but beer Cellar.
whether it's a beer cellar or for me, say, I've got a beer closet.
Curtis, then come out of the beer closet. Well,
most what are you taking out of your
most
beer
people
closet?
Just name their thing a beer cellar. I'm sure they don't have a beer cellar.
Right.
But it's cool. You know, we have that luxury now, in all seriousness. With all the social media and the hashtags, yeah, being able to track it, we could link back the origin of National Clean Out Your Beer Cellar Day to Joby from Barrel House 101.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I think, what did we open that day? Founders Kentucky Bourbon Stout.
Oh, KBS.
Oh, God, that was good. It was just the right amount for five people to share.
That is, yeah, because
that's what inspired
a whole bottle with 12%.
Yeah, that's what inspired Jason's clean out your.
Yeah, it was intense, and Mr. Eric decided to tag his with Ermagerd Kirby's.
So I'm seeing some of this stuff, and I'm trying to figure out
what the hell are these guys doing?
What is happening? Now it makes sense. There we go. I appreciate that. So we've come away from we've come away from the IPA day thing. So here I've got this
Curtis
this
has hop, some contraband
some Madhouse Brewing hop burst IPA. I found this when I was back in South Dakota. 7.2%. So really that's on the high end of what would stylistically be a true IPA.
Right.
But I got to tell you, I love this one, and even better is the whole story behind it, because they're brewed out of what was it? Is it Newton, Iowa? I'm trying to think of what I think it's Newton. Anyway,
it's
wherever
Newton, Iowa,
wherever the Maytag, the big Maytag companies were from, you know, every one of your Maytag washers and dryers and dishwashers and all that. So as soon as they went under and they closed they were bought out, and then they closed down that in Newton, the whole town just was like a ghost town. And so then what are we going to do with all of this manufacturing? You know, they've got these huge buildings all over. So these people said, hey, you know what, let's put a brewery in there. And they've got a bunch of money coming in from,
that's cool,
from, and I can't remember the total story. I'm working on getting an interview with these people, but money coming in to put a brewery and to put this, you know, get people in this town back to work. It's one of those great stories about craft beer movement.
Well, it's
all
nice
over
too.
The country.
You know, you guys had the show recently with Plan B Winery, and we talked about the fact that it's very common for breweries to go into an industrial space, refurbish that space, or repurpose it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the elegances that craft brewing and the brewery culture in general brings to a location in a city, is that you don't need anything fancy. You need a good ample space for brewing and for storage and for fermentation. And it could be something very simplistic and industrial. It can be something more of like a basic storage unit. But we're repurposing those uses in the space that may be dilapidated in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the name escapes me now, but there's two brothers up in Oregon who have these like chain of places that they go in.
McMiniman's.
There it is. They talk about repurposing. They have a school. Hospital.
So I went to the school, and so it's this whole school grounds, and it's huge. It's like 100 acres too. And so you go into the school, and each one of the classrooms has its own kind of theme. So you walk into the school, so you're eating in the detention room, or you're eating in the principal's room office. Whatever it is.
Are you sleeping in like a classroom?
So they, and this one I believe does have the hotels. Some of them do, some of them don't.
Yeah, some of them just have the brew pub and they brew on premise and I think liquor and everything. Mm-hmm. So.
Right, and it's a lot of fun. And they do these big concerts and everything else in the playground area. What? I mean, it's a lot of fun.
And especially with all the discussion lately about Detroit and what they're going to do with their issues and just space in general needing usage. You know, Eric being an architect clues me into some of that stuff with his postings and then Facebook. And there was one just yesterday he put out there about a Walmart in Texas that's been repurposed as a library.
Oh, yeah.
The largest U.S. library now, largest public U.S. space, mm-hmm. where they took this inside of a Walmart and the grounds and refurbished it for a public library. Looks amazing. And, again, it takes a community to really drive those kind of concepts, and breweries we see all around us are doing that. They're taking a small space or an industrial space, repurposing it, and mm-hmm. putting out good craft beer.
So what was your first IPA today, Jason? We'll come back to IPA day here real quick before we...
My first IPA was one of the specials. I actually have to look it up.
He had a Hoppy Poppy.
Thank you, Hoppy Poppy. Yeah, Scott, nice. I just put it in the hands of the bartender, said I want something crisp and refreshing.
Yes.
I've been traveling and around the community all day, and he's like, well, Hoppy Poppy's on special. You're going to get some nice hot bitterness. You're going to get a nice. Little crisp citrusness.
Yeah. Citrus.
Citrus is a good word. Citrus IPA.
No, but Hoppy Poppy, Figaro Mountain, yeah. You know, a local favorite and one of my...
And a cool new tasting room.
Yeah, so Hoppy Poppy, Joby?
Joseph from Wolf Creek brought us Hop Dazed Imperial IPA in a growler, which I still have some, by the way. Remind me to share with
Hop
you guys.
Hop Dazed?
Imperial IPA. So we started, Scott and I, about, I don't know, 12 o'clock with a 9.5% beer.
I'm jealous because the other day I had the Midnight Howl Black IPA.
Which is awesome,
but
too.
But I did not taste yours.
That is.
The Hop Dazed. So that was
and
our
first one. I had it on
that
Nitro,
one.
Curtis.
What's that?
I had it on Nitro.
Oh, wow.
So the origins okay. of IPA Day.
Oh, all
through
right.
the magic of the little white box.
Sweetness.
It's kind of boring, actually.
I'm sorry, what was that?
2011 Colorado-based Brewers Association to unite craft brewer enthusiasts over social media and praise the hoppy brew.
Oh, so it was...
So boring.
So it was a corporate...
It was a couple... Well, the Craft Brewers Association in Colorado.
And certainly I don't want to give any bad news.
Colorado Craft Brewers Association.
Well, it's the Colorado-based... Brewers Association, yeah. which just announced that we've gone over 2,500 breweries in the yes. United States, yes. which is pretty crazy.
And so, the variety in Colorado, I think, is maybe outside of California, is unmatched. The quality that they're putting out from most of the Colorado breweries I've had is outstanding.
Yeah, I would call Colorado like the Midwest Coast because there, Seattle and then Portland we've got and then California. I mean, I don't even want I certainly don't want to just say San Diego because I mean there's brewers all the way up and down, but most people will kind of go San Diego, right. West Coast IPA, whatever. But then as you go inland, where's your next stop? It's Denver.
So can we say that maybe Oregon, California, Colorado make up the Bermuda Triangle where it's actually okay to get lost?
Yeah. I think so. Unless
I think Washington might get pissed at that.
Well, okay. Let's go to Washington. Whatever. you end up going through, even through Idaho, Utah. As I was driving back and forth across the country this summer, Utah. There's they relax their beer their brewing laws, and so now they can brew a beer over 3.2%. And so there's all these 11% beers all over the place coming from all these great little startup breweries in Utah. So even as you're driving through what you would think would be dry land,
right.
you've got something to choose from.
So dry land pushes the ABV limits at 11% for beer. Obviously, there's some out there that are higher, but for daily drink, pushing the limits at 11%. Should we introduce them to the session movement? Because I'd like to have more than one or two beers.
Well, they've done session movement forever.
Yeah,
that's all they can do.
That's what they've been doing. And actually, if you go and you get some of their beers that they had before that, it's amazing what they were doing before session movement was a movement. Because these beers were flavorful. They had a body to them. They weren't a Coors Light kind of light sort of fizzy water. They were a fantastic, a flavorful beer.
All right.
Okay, well,
that's a good
Curtis, what is it? And there you have it.
And there it is. All right. So,
two beer.
So anyone who just tuned in at 7 o'clock looking to catch us, we're gonna go on our first break. Hey, we've already been talking for about 20 minutes, so we're gonna take a break. We'll get the crew from Barrel House Brewing Company to come in.
Barrel House Brewing
IPAs.
We'll be talking from the bowels of Barrel House.
I know. It's like Twilight Zone.
There's a lot of barrel houses.
A lot of barrel going. Here. Yeah, a lot of barrels going around.
So we've got them. They've got a whole flight, and we'll talk about because I've already gone through their flight. So we'll talk about the beers that they have.
And there's two IPAs on the flight, so that's good.
And they're really nice.
Yeah,
really nice.
Very nice. So,
thanks, guys, for letting me take up a little pre-show time. We'll relinquish to Barrel House.
Sounds good. We'll catch you in a couple minutes here.
And now, back to the show.
We are coming back with the crew from Barrel House Brewing Company, located in Paso Robles. Fantastic. Just in the little short conversation we had coming in, 4 months old? 5 months old? This is crazy.
Yeah. Jason thought it was... Is it five? It's five.
It's five.
They opened
five.
In February.
Yeah.
2013.
Time flies.
Time does fly when you're having fun, right?
It does.
So this... These are the most guests we've had at one time. It's just like five people staring at us.
So for the people who are
Jeff is
who
in the
watching
corner
live, let's go from our right to left.
Yeah, we have Jeff Joby standing over there.
Oh, wait. Yeah, he's going to poke his head in. There he is.
Jason.
Yep.
Chris. Cody. Ryan. Jason again over there, but everybody knows him already.
All I know is that there's a really big room to be sitting this close together. Just saying that.
It's good that you're friends because you all are, you know, and then looking at the small picture that I'm watching as the monitor. Right, come on, guys. Let's keep everything above the table. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I purposely didn't read too much into your website because I wanted to make sure that I was just kind of flying off the cuff with you here. And what brought you all together and why a brewery?
Well, what brought us all together was a common love and passion we all share, which is just quality craft beer. And it all started in a garage in a small town called Orkut. And we would get together once every, 2 months, 3 months or so. And we would just brew multiple batches, and we'd barbecue, and it would bring us together, our wives together, the kids together, and it just turned into an event we all looked forward to. And before we knew it, we were trying to figure out how we could actually do this for a living. And we're not making any money, but we're having a lot of fun at it. So
who wants to make money, right? It's just about having fun.
Right, right. Life's short.
Yeah, right. Making money is overrated. Well, we always like to ask people who go from any kind of hobby or you know, homebrew, home winemaking, distilling, which is illegal, but home distilling to professional level. How does that happen? I mean, obviously it sounds really like nice and easy. Like, yeah, we went from brewing in our garage and having a barbecue to we just opened this huge facility. I mean, very impressive place in Paso. How does that happen though? Who starts that? Who says, you know what, we got to go pro? Or take us through that process. Is it Jason? Everyone's pointing the finger at Jason.
It is. Yeah.
It's his fault.
You can blame him for everything. Good, man. Definitely Jason and Kevin.
I mean, how do you wake up one day just like, we have to do this? Or?
No, it wasn't just one day. It was a combination of days. We're always thinking. This whole group, everybody who's part of Barrel House, is super innovative. Everybody's got really good feedback, and it's a community and a family. And the more we thought about it, the more we had input, the more people just poured their feelings and their input into it. It was a necessity more than anything. Everybody had all these great ideas, and so myself and Kevin, who's not here, we had a construction company that we've pretty much sunk just so we can make a brewery. And we basically convinced Kevin to join us, and he's excited about beer. He always has been. And so Chris and myself and Kevin started looking for a used brew house. We found one in Canada. The first trip up to Canada, it was actually Ryan, myself, and Kevin.
I bet that was a fun trip.
what do you think, Ryan? Can you elaborate a little bit?
Well, yes, that trip was epic. And let me tell
right
you,
there.
I was on a roof at a college when I got the call from Jason, and he said, "Hey, can you go to Canada on Wednesday?" This was a Monday, right? I'm tarring a roof. Has anyone ever tarred a roof? Okay, you don't want to tar a roof. You want to go to Canada.
No, I saw a tarring roof, but that was on Shawshank Redemption when they were up on the top. I mean,
right. Having some beers.
Right.
Yeah. Like, hey.
We just want to be fellas up here.
Do you want to go buy a brewery in Canada,
or do you want to stay on the roof?
Or yeah, I don't want to stay on the roof. Right. I'm going to Canada. Actually, nobody knows about that at work. They do now.
So I noticed Ryan he's looking at the camera line.
I
think you should put it right at Ryan. I think he's definitely the face of Barrel House.
Yeah, absolutely. Really? That's some goodness. Bad news right there.
Yeah. If I'm the face, I don't know. Who's the asshole?
This is an R-rated show, all right?
I don't know where that
I wasn't told of the parental guidance suggestions.
So it's we're show bought alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
There
so,
it is.
So you guys go to Canada, you find a brew house, a system.
Yeah, so we show up in Canada. It actually starts snowing when we're walking up to the brewery we're buying this brew house from. And this brewery had been in production for what, like 12 years? They're upsizing to this gigantic brand new facility. And so we walk into this place and they welcome us like family. From the minute we met them, it was just meant to be. And so they helped us out. They gave us a ton of information. The brew house itself, all the equipment was well maintained. And we said, hey, we're in. So they said, you have 6 months, come back, dismantle the equipment, load it on a truck, and it's yours. So that gave us 6 months basically to figure out everything else.
Right, so the location, everything else comes after the brew.
Correct, yeah.
After the brew system, we
couldn't pull the trigger. If you ever open a brewery, you have to have the equipment. Once you have the equipment, then you have to establish a location so you can start the process for all the licensing and everything.
Right.
And then once you establish the licensing that's attached to that location, then you have to start, you know, perfecting all your recipes, and you have to go through all the building permit, all the county, the ABC permits. So it's quite the adventure, but
it's really easy, right? It's simple.
Oh yeah, it's a piece of cake.
Yeah, you just go down to the city and they give you a permit.
Yeah, they walk you.
They open
it
up.
Yeah.
There's actually a website now you can go to, and you just click all the check boxes. And yeah. Brewery.
Yeah, it's only like seven or eight.
It's like $50 to start it.
Yeah.
Pretty easy.
Yeah.
I think there's a certain amount of shit flying through.
Yeah. Right. Right. So I mean, you guys. I mean, you said that's your process, that you buy the brew system first. Like, we've heard a lot of guys that are like, oh, we found a location, then we went on a search, and so they're like a year until they open. How long exactly were you guys, you think, till you kind of go from the concept or we're going to do this to open?
Well, so it starts with a budget. So we knew we couldn't get a location until we found a cheap brew house. So it all started with finding the right deal, and then we knew that it was possible. We knew that a location, I mean, on the Central Coast, craft beer.
Yeah.
I mean, we probably could have opened in 20 different places and been just fine, but we ended up stumbling across a spot in Paso Robles. The demographics, the natural beauty, it has a beautiful outdoor beer garden. Everything, it was meant for our brewery. And Chris and I were sitting on the grass one day, and we just were like, what do you think about, we had visited, what, four or five places?
Yeah, I mean, what, almost a 3-hour, you know, from as far south as we can go all the way north, and kept creeping north. It just seemed to, everything seemed to be better and better as far as we went. Even that place, we sat in the grass, and I remember sitting there, we're like, this place is it, but this doesn't fit in our budget. There's no way in hell this is going to work. And Jason's like, let me figure it out. I'll take care of this. Right. Remember, we were at the Craft Brewers Conference in San Diego, and he's like, we're good. I'm like, cool, good for what? Drinks afterwards, party afterwards? Like, no, we have it.
No, we're opening.
Yeah, we're opening. And so, you know, there was somebody who believed in our story and believed in the business plan and believed in us and kind of made sure that we would happen. And because of that, it's kind of... You know, I think the brew house was the catalyst to make it all happen.
Right.
From that point, there was no turning back.
Yeah.
100%.
These guys are waiting for you to pick up their system.
Exactly. There's no. They're in Canada. It's international.
Yeah, they had our deposit. So.
Yeah, these guys. Wow. So, and being construction business, I saw on your website, you guys did a lot of stuff yourself.
We did. Yeah,
right?
You're looking at. I mean, these
this
guys.
This is the crew right here.
This is the crew right here. I mean, every weekend, you know, we were there 24 hours a day, a lot of nights. Yeah. I mean, we'd see the sunrise, and we're hammering nails, and that's the beauty about it. That's what makes Barrel House what it is it's a family. I mean, so many people had so much input, and so many people rallied. Yeah. It makes it really, really awesome.
No, that's awesome. I love that. As you know, I mean, we got a similar story to you guys. I mean, we're, you know, I'm not a contractor, but definitely, you know, we put in our own draft system, and we did all these things that we could do. And so I really appreciate that when I hear somebody who's done that, you know. And we hope that the next time we do something, maybe you guys too, you have the money so you can just hire somebody else to do it for you. You know, you just, it's like that first one that you always have to do and just get it done, and at any cost, because you got the place. That's how we were. It's like, you got to open, you got the place, and you're under a deadline, and you guys are there. I saw your pictures on the website. It's like taking us all the way through. You guys made your own tap handles.
Yeah, everything.
I saw a picture of that. That's awesome. Everything. I mean, that's so. We go from that to February, you guys open?
Yeah, February 23rd this year.
First beer that goes in the brew system. Are there a couple of...
There were five beers,
We've talked to a lot of people that make...
Four beers?
What did we call them? Those batches that they just kind of go away.
They must just be test batches.
Test batches? Did you guys have test batches, or did you just go for it?
No, we went for it.
Wags?
So we call them wags, wild-ass guesses.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, it's for because you don't know what your efficiency is going to be and exactly right. What's going to come out.
You've got to run. So we brewed the first batch, and we're like, okay, so we're not too far off from what we thought in the second batch, but all that happened within the first week. And I want to say we got, what, a week into fermentation, and we're like, guys, this isn't turning out half bad. Like, these are pretty darn close to what we want. Nice. Damn close. This isn't... I'm used to radio. We can't cut.
It's so darn close.
It's so darn close. It's not I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm so hard. Isn't yeah. Right. Jeez, you like that? Yeah.
he'll take care of it for you, Chris. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Just give it to Ryan. He'll take care of it for you.
We were 2 weeks away from brewing, and we pulled the trigger and had a grand opening. So we had 1,600 people come in to test our first batches.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. On our opening day. Wow. Literally.
There's a lot of guys that won't open until they feel like everything's perfect and the beer is...
Yeah, that's just... that wasn't in the cards for us. We had planned on having a little bit more of a buffer, but we had... Anything that could have gone wrong pretty much went wrong, whether it was from, you know... We have a brand new brew house we drugged here from Canada, right? There are so many variables from electrical to plumbing to whatever. It all went wrong. So 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, we're trying to figure out how to operate the keg filling...
it was set up on, so, it's set up on 220.
Yeah, right. Metric. So
what does three phase mean?
Yeah, seriously. So literally, 3 o'clock in the morning, we've got a guy in New Jersey on the phone with a guy in China that's on the phone with another guy, and we're trying to figure this out, and everybody seriously rallied. These guys,
that's cool.
And the time difference is, it's like, you know, 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever. But it all just kind of came together, and you know, all of our first beers, they were undercarbonated. There were things that were wrong with them. But everybody was so ecstatic about us being there and so supportive that it didn't really matter.
Right.
I mean, and they didn't expect fantastic beer. We'd been open for one day.
Yeah. And we touched on this earlier, Jason. It was like, people go to a brewery right when it first opens, or you go to a restaurant right when it first opens, and it's like, everything needs to be perfect. And it's like, hey, let's give it a chance,
I know,
man.
That's, like, well, hey. That was some of the first comments that I heard about Bear House 101. That's I'm it. Like, come on, please. I know Joby. He's going to be pushing.
We just opened.
But then coming out of Paso Robles, I mean, you've got a powerhouse brewery there. I mean, we were talking about Firestone Walker has been there for 17 years. So the people know, you know, the people in that area certainly know what a brewery is supposed to be putting out. And so it's just kind of this commentary on craft beer enthusiasts that when somebody starts up, we're giving them the break that they need in order, because we know that these first beers aren't going to be what they're going to end up, you know, their production line or right. their core brands in 4 months even, you know. So it's a great commentary, I guess, on Paso Robles, where they embraced you so much when they've got such great beer culture already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we expected to have to dump, you know, a couple of batches. We didn't think that they would all go well, but every batch we put out, we're like, hey, man, this is actually good.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they weren't great, but from there, then you have a milestone, you know, start off from, and so from there we teed off, and we're like, all right, this is where we need to go, and we're in the process of getting there. By no means are we there, but we're trying.
The beers are great, though. I mean, you had the flight earlier, I had the flight there and had it here again, and we're drinking the double. Now, do you guys have names for your beers or not yet? Is that something that's Chris is? By the way, Chris is your. You're director of marketing, president of marketing?
Depends who's asking.
All right.
Yeah.
So no, right away they handed him the mic.
That was not my idea. That was
they handed him the mic.
Wait, it was
right
his away.
Like that. He wasn't in hesitation. Like, here you go.
I'm just wondering. I mean, it's cool that you don't have the names. Yeah. I'm just wondering, is that
we're just talking about that.
Yeah. I mean, even on the ride here, you know, names are such an interesting thing. Like, I know why Lagunitas Sucks was named what it was, but now these names, we've had 1,000 names, and they're all brilliant, but then you look online, and it's like 5 other people have the damn name.
Right.
So, you know, do we come out with a name that's just Barrelhouse IPA, Barrelhouse Kolsch, Barrelhouse Blonde? So we're kind of, honestly, even on the way here, asking Cody, hey, Cody, what do you think about this name? He's like, it's okay. So we're like, oh, shit, what do we do now? So we are starting off with the names that are just the very basic for our portfolio. But for a couple of other brands, they will have fanciful names, as they call them, TTV.
I like fanciful.
Fanciful sounds really nice.
Fanciful names.
Fanciful names with wings and everything.
So when you come up with a name, there's a site you can go on TTBs, right?
There's a few.
And then you go like, damn, somebody already has it.
You would not believe how many times we said damn and a few other things. Yeah, I mean, we've.
And you think you're like, I got the name. I got this brilliant name.
Nobody's ever thought of it.
And because if you do come up with one that somebody else has thought about it, then you're going down litigation avenue.
Exactly. Yes, right.
And it's happened to a lot of.
We don't have money to fight these things. Right, I mean, Ballast Point, we all know they went through that battle and lost, so we know it's a losing battle.
Right.
We don't have enough money to even try to win the battle. So, it's been a battle. So I think at this point, I think of our five portfolio, two will have fanciful names, the other three will probably be just the core.
IPA.
Yeah, because they kind of stand on their own. A couple of other ones, it's you have to look at your market too.
Right.
And so I would love to say this is what the names are, but I mean, do we? Is it going on?
I don't know.
Well, it's probably going to change tomorrow.
It could change tomorrow.
Well, and if you're thinking down the road to bottles or cans,
exactly.
I mean, I'm going to grab this. I'm going to go off mic for a second.
Right there.
Okay. So what I really like though is when you say fanciful though, you've got to say it like the Lucky Charms leprechaun though.
So you can't say it without that. I mean, it's fanciful.
So then you have to start thinking about stuff like this where you got to have a name on your can or your bottle.
Exactly.
And then,
well, I can't believe that Hop Slayer wasn't taken beforehand.
I swear that was taken, but.
So yeah. The challenge is with this, for instance.
I'll pass it around.
You can't just say, I'm going to try out this name and see what happens.
Right.
Right.
You buy you commit to a truckload of cans.
Of cans, right.
Right. So that's the challenge, is you have to do all of your research in advance, and it's amazing how many names are spoken for.
Right. Yeah, right.
So. Well, with 2,500, over 2,500 breweries now.
Right.
And everyone's got, and everyone has 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 beers.
Well, right. You know what you found out, too, is you're not competing against beers. You're competing against spice companies and wineries.
The winery one's kind of, I mean, if it crosses over to a different...
No,
you know,
if it creates consumer
confusion.
Well, that's pretty easy to do.
Ballast Point just battled that with a wine and a beer. Who's confused about that?
I'm not.
Right. At all.
No.
Nobody.
Yeah,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Deeper pockets.
So one of the things I just learned, though, on a family vacation for you guys, as I was traveling across, is Ball, the can company there, they'll give you the regular cans, and I came across a brewery called Okoboji Brewing Company, and they have their labels printed out on shrink wrap.
Or shrink wrap.
Yeah, lick and stick.
And then it melted on. So, I mean, there's that for you to do.
And that is an option, but when you're looking at it, we love that idea, but not to knock that idea. When you get a can, you want to pick up that can and be like, this is a quality product.
Yeah,
you pick it up, and if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right.
So are we thinking cans, bottles, anything down there?
Oh, yeah.
Both.
Both?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to release one beer in a can. Just to test the market, 16-ounce cans, four packs.
Very good.
All of our other beers are going to be released in 22-ounce bottles.
Oh, nice.
I love 22. 16-ounce cans, perfect.
You didn't pull out the 16-ounce can.
Are you not going to pull out and share?
Come on.
All right, fine.
It's
not my can to share.
No, yeah, it is. It is your can to share. But
it is now.
No, when you get 16-ounce cans, and Surly, kind of pioneered that, So, I mean, when you get a Surly can.
The can has gone missing.
You want it.
Check this guy.
There it is.
Always look for Ryan.
you get eyes.
Jason's drinking it. All right.
So
he's back there.
Perfect for your, everyone has pint glasses at home.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a 12-ounce bottle, you pour in your pint glass, you have extra room in your glass. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
16 ounces is the way to go, definitely. And 22s are great for breweries and great, I think it's number one package.
That's the thing. We love cans, and we could come out with cans 100%. We'd be stoked. But you have to look at your market. You have to look at what's your retailer going to have.
Yeah,
they've got slots for 22s. They don't always have slots for 16-ounce cans with four packs. So,
You
got to hit all markets.
Sometimes you'll take a chance on a 22 before you're going to commit to a four or six or
right.
Exactly. 12. So we're hoping we're going to do cans and bottles around the same time. We are passionate about cans. If it was up to us, it would all be all cans. But it's all about the real estate and getting that exposure. And you're not going to get that exposure if you're sitting up here by the
shelf space, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Speaking of shelf space, I've noticed in the Ventura market that there have been a lot of people going to the four-pack in the Ventura market. So I see this as very viable.
Yeah, I think, definitely.
Oh, and the beer is awesome.
I feel like we entered a marketing session here.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll
come back to beer.
Bring it back to the beer.
No. But seriously, I mean, when you look around,
it's very important, though.
Right. Well, and even just traveling across the U.S. like I was this summer, the amount of cans that are available are just it's amazing. And then the four packs are the ones that I generally go for because I'm used to 22s. And so, you know, my drinking habits have changed to where 12 ounces isn't necessarily enough for me.
Okay, Ryan, I think you're in trouble.
Uh-oh. And 22 ounces, you know, you're a 22-ounce bottle or a 16-ounce can is just
right.
Don't
worry, Emily, you're on TV.
Okay. Is he all right?
Okay, so we've gone from... So cans are... you're looking at exploring at 22s for sure. What about... There was some conversation earlier about barrel aging. Are you barrel aging anything? Are you planning on doing it in the future?
So
kind of walk us through that.
We are currently barrel aging. Right now, our most popular barrel aged beer is our Maple Vanilla Whiskey Stout.
Which was delicious, by the way.
Which we brought that tonight.
Thank you.
That's a full 5-month-old bourbon barrel, or it's been aged for 5 months in 12-year-old bourbon barrels. That's one that we're super excited about. We also have some other barrel projects. We've got our double IPA that we triple hopped, and that's barrel aged in new oak at the brewery. We've got two different sour projects going on at the brewery. We're excited about barrels and all the different character that it adds and all the different opportunities. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, we're in Paso Robles.
Yeah, there's you're in wine country.
More
I mean.
Barrels per capita than anywhere in the world, yeah. I would guess.
They're and there. So why not? You know,
it's at our disposal.
Yeah. So are you guys starting with wine barrels, whiskey barrels were the first one we had, right?
Yeah, we started with the whiskey barrels, and now we're venturing into wine. But one of our brewers is super passionate about sours, and so what we're trying to do is just keep that passion going and just experiment.
And obviously a separate area of the brewery, right?
Correct, yeah.
Right in the middle of the brew house. Right.
Keep those things
right underneath.
Keep
the
them away from
the...
We put a blanket right over the top.
That's fine. Hey.
Keeping them out and back.
I'm sure many places have done that. And then all of a sudden, you have a sour IPA and a sour pale and a...
All of a sudden, we're a sour brewery,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, everything's sour. That's cool. It's fine if that's what you want to do. But,
right, so when your pilsners come out with a little funk, then you're like, well, maybe not, I guess.
That depends. Do you like it?
There may be a market for that. Yeah, exactly. There may
be a
market for that.
We just start a beer club and everything's good, right?
Specialty. Yeah.
So, beer club. So, Mug, I was looking at the website just a little bit, and you have... was there a mug club? Tell us about, or was there, it's going to take me forever to pull it up, but it seemed like you had some kind of mug club coming in just to get people to test out all of your beers?
Not yet. We actually keep going back and forth with that. We'd really love to have that. And actually, if any of your listeners have any ideas for what they think is the most amazing mug club, I guess, possibility out there, have them like sign in and kind of give us some information. Because we want to do that. We've never done this before.
Yeah, no, that's
you
fine.
Know what I mean? So it's like, give us some ideas and see what they think. Because we'd love to.
We don't like the idea of having, you know, 500 mugs up on the wall.
No,
so
can't do that.
It's more of a beer club for us. So what we
maybe a card or a I'm
yeah,
a card carrying member of the society. I like that
society.
Secret
so
society.
We've been entertaining ideas where if you're a part of this club, obviously you get a discount when you come in the brewery. You get the first chance to sample different projects.
Oh yeah.
So it's not per se a mug club, but it's more of a beer club where hey, you're part of this. Let us know. Give us some feedback, and then we'll release these beers based off of your feedback. And then when we release it, you're going to have exclusive rights to it first.
Very cool.
Because that's fun. That's what it's all about. And so that's kind of the direction we're heading in. But any feedback, anybody has any ideas, we're totally open to it. Because right now we're creating that. So
that's very cool. So the wineries have been doing it forever, right? It's like you belong to this club. You come in. You get to do. Barrel tasting, you get to do the pre-release.
These events,
it is, but you also get access to these things. But it doesn't seem like breweries are doing it though. It's almost like because it's a little different. It's a different animal. It's
one
like,
of the tough things is shipping too. Because if you imagine, like if we ship out bottles 4 times a year and then the heat of summer, they're done.
Yeah, right.
So we have to time that a little bit more, and it's a different crowd too. I think.
Yeah. I think more than shipping, it's like come to the brewery and taste it.
Exactly, which is kind of what we're dealing
taste
with.
Taste it right out of the fermenters.
Uh huh.
Hey, Chris, how long have you all been open?
Since February 23rd, 5 months.
All right, that's cool. You got some great ideas.
No, that's awesome. That's what it's all about, is just getting the ideas.
And I just heard on NPR as I was driving in that the post office is considering alcohol shipment.
Good,
and
should.
So which will end up, I mean,
really?
Which, because they're trying to make some money, and yeah. And where do we go
40 cents to mail something, yeah, across the country is not working.
Well, where are we going? Yeah, where are we going to ship our booze? We're going to FedEx or UPS,
right. Paying a premium yeah. price for overnight shipping, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that may be an option.
But that, yeah, that's, and you guys, have the space for those kind of parties, which is great. You know, you have that outdoor area, the inside, and you can have those. A lot of guys don't. And
so you came to the brewery. You've seen the
yes.
The beer gardens,
so we had breakfast at your place.
Yes,
which consisted of
hey, you know what breakfast is, breakfast is our specialty. I just want to say
what he was. He
it
served
was beer. I served his breakfast. It consisted of IPA, stout,
yes.
pale ale, and one other.
And
beer.
We tried to finagle.
There was no actual food consumed.
No, there wasn't anything. We went up the street to the other brewery and had some lunch. But
the other brewery.
Cody was really good. We tried our hardest to buy a keg of the whiskey stout, which we have now, which is awesome. Yeah. Waiting two more months, but
it all worked out. Yeah.
We were like, you have to sell us a keg of this. Somebody was there from a Middle Eastern restaurant.
Shafiq.
Peter
Kebab. The kebabs?
Yeah.
And he was buying a keg and taking it back. And so Andy and I, we walk outside. And then we go, hey, that guy's buying a keg. Let's go back in there and see if we can buy a keg. Of course, we asked for the hardest keg that they... They have nothing of... Can we buy your rarest keg, please, and take it back home?
Yeah, and he ended up winning in the long run for the record because it's here right now.
Yeah, no, it is here, and it's phenomenal, and it's selling really fast. Probably gone already, but I think Cody even called up Jason on the phone and was like, no, we can't do this. But, yeah, your place is it's totally set up for those kind of events, which is great. I think one of our servers, you have some this Saturday. You guys have concerts every weekend?
We've got music Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's pretty wild. Every weekend. On this Saturday, though, we've got a much bigger band, so we're expecting pretty big crowds. We have a half-acre beer garden, a live water feature that's the size of, a bus. It's gigantic.
What's a live water feature?
You don't know what a live water
feature is? Well, unlike the unlive water
feature. It's got, like, frogs in it.
We have frogs.
Like a dead water. A dead water feature.
Yeah,
is.
This one's real.
Well, I was wondering if this was a Tappet kind of fire truck.
Good luck.
Foam.
No.
Oh,
foam.
You pulled out the Tappet.
Tappet. The foam truck is not in the parking lot.
It's we used to have a projection screen with a water feature. We got rid of that. So.
No, we actually, real. We actually have a tank that shoots fire trucks that shoot foam.
there's a little history of your place, of the former tenant. Some kind of artist, or
he was an artist and he made these amazing sculptures. So if you pull in, you'll see kind of randomly on different packaging, you'll see this dragonfly. It sits up about 15-20 feet up in the air. It's this beautiful dragonfly. I mean, it's made out of bronze and all the stained glass, and when you pull in, it's the first thing you see. And so we've left it. There was a butterfly. Cool. We've moved it to the back. We're not really a butterfly kind of company. But hey.
Dragonflies are badass.
Dragonflies are badass.
Butterflies.
Yeah. It was on a pear, so you know, we had to get rid of it. But yeah, so in the beer gardens, we play music on the back of the truck. We've got a 1933 Dodge truck. We play music on the back of it.
Nice.
We tried once, and I think we had two people clapping. It was more of a happy birthday.
Oh, you
song,
guys played.
We
music.
Did. It
okay.
was pretty yeah. embarrassing. Yeah.
We don't play anything.
Yeah, no, we don't play anything. Yeah.
We leave that to professionals.
I can be a DJ. I know I can.
Yeah, right. I can do this.
Wee.
So,
oh, here comes a beat.
Here it comes.
Uh oh.
Beep. Beep.
Is Ryan in her beatbox right now?
I think so.
Okay. He's covering the mic like a beatboxer would. So I'm just.
I've got the levels here.
Boom. Boom. These are first official beatbox on the show.
What you do? What?
Hey, why not?
Thank you.
I know.
Every night at Barrel House 101.
Yeah.
Because.
No. I think that was.
It was the very first.
Very first beatbox on the show.
It was the very Sweetness. Best and the very worst.
Yes.
it was the very first.
It was the first and the best.
It was a C+. It was better than most, but worse than most.
So I know all you guys are involved.
C's get degrees.
Can you kind of take us through, like, what I know, Chris, you're marketing, and Do you guys all do stuff? Does everybody wear different hats?
At this point, we all do everything. I mean, yeah. We all have our hands in brewing.
Okay. Oh, you all do? Okay. Oh, that's kind of what I was getting
at. We've got a head brewer now, which is actually taking it, he's kind of taking it from what we got it to and saying, okay, you guys did really good, surprisingly. But now we're going to take it to the next level and make it really excellent.
Nice job, guys. I'll take it from here.
We're like, cool.
George is awesome.
Yeah, George is awesome.
And that's actually very smart of you guys to get a head brewer and then let's focus on the business and let's get the rest.
Production brewing. And
that's right.
Yeah.
Can we mention, did he come from somewhere that we know? Or
so he has a bit of a lineage.
Do we not want to say?
No, why not? Yeah, he came from Firestone amongst a few other, actually, Spitzer, what's the place in Texas?
Sprecher. No, that's just Wisconsin. No,
bigger than that. Yeah. It's anyway, gigantic company in the East Coast.
Indian Wells.
Figueroa. Firestone. Wow. Sensory analysis expert.
Very good.
And then, anyway, so he's been a huge help. He knows production side. We didn't. So he's taken where we left off and kind of run with it, which has been great. Mm-hmm. We really need, and he's got this just, we'll pull in sometimes, and he's asleep with his dog spooning on some brewery mats, sleeping because the brew went a little long that night. Nobody has those guys. Like, he's very, we're very so cool. Lucky to have this
George
guy.
Is that unique guy that you want to hire that you can't find, but you found him and you're extremely thrilled.
You got to keep him once you find those guys. So,
he's a keeper, man.
So can you guys, I mean, I remember your facility, the brewery's on one side and then tasty room on the side. You guys can brew while you're open, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of these guys that are, you know, like, we talked to Santa Barbara Brewing, Kevin, and the guys in there like midnight to 6 right. a.m. So, or something, like some crazy. He's got to get out of there before they open the brew pub. I mean, obviously you guys are not a brew pub, and that may be the advantage right there. But
well,
do you guys brew while you're open?
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of the experience at our place. I mean, you pull up, you can smell the brew going on. You can smell the first hop addition. You can smell the flavoring hops. You smell the. I mean, just the whole process to us, it creates a gigantic.
Yeah.
It's a gigantic challenge from logistically, safety, and aesthetically. Because everybody sees what you're doing.
Well, there's a small 2-foot wall that protects the guests, right?
Yeah, legal requirement, of course.
Yeah, that's OSHA approved.
So we've got to be very careful, you know, spraying water and everything.
Right.
But that's part of the experience when you come to our place is you get to smell it, you get to see it actually happening, and that's part of the experience. I mean, you can't beat that. I witnessed that. We traveled around, all of us. We traveled up and down the state, in Canada, wherever. And the breweries that had the brewery where you could actually witness the brewing happening, where you don't have to say, I want a tour, I want to schedule this or that. It doesn't matter what time of day. You come to our place, you see the action happening.
You see it going on,
and that's sexy.
That's great.
People come in, they ask for a tour. We say, turn around.
It's dead sexy.
Just walk around.
Dead sexy.
There you go.
And then you also had a arcade shooting thing that I remember that was on the side.
Guns and beer.
America.
Was this a Disney-esque sort of?
No, it was like one of those. It was really cool. It was like one of those, I don't know, like gallery.
Our neighbors make those things at Daniel's Woodland. So they had a bunch of them, and they were just sitting in their warehouse. They said, what do you think about putting one in there? It's great. I mean, so.
Yeah.
We have a shooting gallery in our brewery.
Like BB gun style?
No. Like laser, light. Oh,
laser
thing.
Beams.
You know, the things move when you shoot it.
You walk by and it has these motion sensors, so it starts squawking at you and it kind of trips you out at
get
midnight.
Over here.
Yeah.
So the only thing cooler than sharks with freaking laser beams are beer cans with laser beams. Nice.
Indeed.
They have something for everyone.
Way to go.
And your barbecue area outside, can we? People use that, or is that something that's like just for events?
We on certain events we'll fire it up, and because I mean you get giant flames in that thing, so we say outdoor fire pits. We have to be kind of careful.
Safety first.
We care about our customers.
Or
no
safety
good.
Third.
Third behind beer and other things.
Right.
And
do you need to use lighter fluid in your fire pits?
We use gasoline, diesel, really. Most time.
You know, we had a poker run for a good event for
the day we were there.
The Boys and Girls Club a while ago, and they used the fire pit. Turned out to be great. They had about a couple hundred bikers.
Yeah.
And it was great, but you know, it's just got to be coordinated like anything else.
A lot of Coors Light was ordered that day.
No, there's no Coors Light.
No, come on.
Off with you, man.
This guy's done.
Yeah. And he's out.
Cut.
Good night.
Very good. What's, you know, we've talked, you're so new, and it seems like everything that we've talked about is right now and the future, but all at the same time. I mean, everything is still kind of we're learning as we go, and we're making these improvements and everything. But what is, do you have a 5-year plan, or do you have a 10-year? I mean, I'm guessing that when you're
everybody's looking at Jason now. I love how each question gets. Everybody goes to certain people.
He's the captain of the ship, so yeah, we got it.
So our plan is to keep, you know, refining our process, and eventually we're going to be releasing cans and bottles. We have our core portfolio, and we have so many people that are innovative and have just so many different talents, whether it's sours or whether it's, you know, saisons or lagers or whatever. So our goal is to create a portfolio that's second to none, that's different, that's innovative, and to also constantly release cutting-edge beers that are different than what you would expect or what you can get anywhere else. Because there's so much you can do with beer, why not? And we have the talent. I mean, our guys are just incredible. So we're up for the challenge, and we're not going to stop until we get there.
I'm in.
That was, yeah, that was a perfect answer.
Yeah, it was a perfect answer.
Because one of the things that I meant to kind of preface with that, too, is because even when you're starting, I mean, a 5-year plan may just be, I want to learn how this system works and do to the best. And this was way beyond that. This is just, you know, let's keep pushing what our system will do.
I think you guys are at 5 months, you're already ahead of what people would be at having a 5-year plan.
Right.
I mean, I think so. I mean, definitely.
We certainly have the people that are capable of it, and everybody's just up for the challenge. So we're constantly, you know, pushing the envelope, and that's what makes, you know, coming to work fun. I mean, every day, just sitting around a table, we come up with these wild ideas, and 90% of them are horrible, but 10% of them are awesome.
Right.
So
I think Ryan needs to do your commercials or anything that has to do with cameras.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's got such a beautiful
face.
Loving
it, though. Yeah. He's just
he's loving it. Yeah.
The camera loves him.
Well, but somebody loves him.
Thank goodness.
Well, I think my last question, I mean, really was, too, and you kind of alluded to it, that there's been plenty of times as a home brewer, and I've been home brewing for 17 years, that, you know, I go, you know, I want to do this, but this is so much more advanced than anything that I have ever kind of dreamt of. And even on a home brew level, I have such an ego about my own home brew that I don't know if I could turn those recipes over to a pro brewer. And maybe the knowledge, my knowledge of my ego is...
acceptable.
I don't know how to spell it, but it's a word. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
I can't open a brewery just because I want to have that. I want to be the one. And so it's anytime I meet people who get this brewing talent and bring them in, and then just watching them go is always so exciting. And just because I'm kind of sitting on the back side going, yeah, you know, this is why I'm talking about it on the radio, as opposed to actually, you know, hiring or spending $1 million to build a brewery, yeah. I guess.
You know, there's so many guys out there that they make great homebrew beer. You know, they come in all the time and they say, hey, man, I want to do my own brewery. And it's like, if you love brewing beer, brew freaking beer. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a different world. We love the fact that we get to grow a business, but if you want to be a brewer, keep brewing in a garage.
Yeah, right.
Like, there's no reason. Why make that extra step? Why put your family through that when that's what you love to do? Right. There's a couple of us knuckleheads out there. And
you got to be an idiot.
You got to be an idiot.
You got
to
be a little crazy.
Yeah, totally.
I think that's definitely a mutual thing. Mm-hmm. But we have people at the bar that are just like, oh, man, it's so fun. It must be so fun on you guys' side.
It is
of the
pretty
bar.
Freaking fun. Don't tell those guys, though.
It's like, no,
their wives would hate us.
We have to lie and say, no, it's not good. That fun
lots
on the side
of
the bar. But yeah, it's a lot of work. But
you know, for every two critiques these guys sitting around the bar, and I've talked to pretty much everybody drinking Bearhaus beer at this bar has today. For every two critiques you have, these guys sitting right here, the guys that actually brew it, they have about 6 or 8. You know, these guys aren't sitting here thinking their beer is great and it's the best thing that ever walked God's greenest earth. You know, they're critiquing it. They're always looking to make it better. Yeah. They know it's flawed. They know it can be better. And I think that's a great thing about Barrel House.
He's looking at him sideways.
Really?
wait a minute.
Who gave this guy a microphone?
You're not talking about my... Take it away.
You must be talking about some of these other breweries here. I don't know.
What's going on here?
So it's good now, and it's going to continue to get better.
But
that is not our beer right there. I don't know whose beer that is. Great beer now.
Is he drinking that can?
I'm not drinking that can. What's that?
No.
I don't even know where that came from.
What's going on?
It's great beer now. It's going to continue to get better. I mean, we've only been open since February. We're going to continue to get better. We're just brewing.
You guys should just lie to people and say you've been around for a long time.
Been around for years.
No way. We like to shock them. When
I want
to
say years, right?
3 months forever. No, 3 months forever. And like, wow, that's really good for 3 months. Like, I know. It's weird.
I know. Chris and I talked about doing a 1 month anniversary, a 3 month anniversary, a 6 month anniversary.
Every year.
Just milk every month.
Well, we had a... We did a whiskey show last week, and the guy had 12 years of experience, and he had some hardcore 12 years, but some of those 12 years was also slinging gin and tonics and PBRs. You know, and so, you know, I mean, between all of you, you can put that all together. We've got over 300 years of brewing experience right here.
This is true.
Exactly.
Between all of us.
Collectively.
With the 10 or 15 people that you've got going.
Well.
I call it 30.
Okay.
So. wait a second.
That's right. You're the face of Barrel House, right?
Yes, you are.
He is indeed.
So, I know where you guys are at, but
pretty face.
For people listening, where are you guys at? Where can they find you?
Tell them.
Well, hold on. Ryan's going to say something first. Ryan, what's the address?
30, 55
Limestone Way. In Paso Robles, California. And let me tell you, there's a beer garden there.
Hours of operation?
Oh. That's a good question. You know why? It's because I'm not a paid employee.
Well, I just
want
to make sure somebody doesn't go up there and you're closed. So we got to make sure.
No,
it's a long drive.
I'll take that question. That's a tricky one.
All right, Jason.
It's actually quite tricky. So Mondays and Tuesdays we're closed. Wednesdays and Thursdays we open at 11, close at 8. Nope, 2 at 8.
Uh-oh.
I told you it was
tricky. It is tricky. It's
can you tricky. Edit that out, Curtis?
Friday.
We're going to edit that out. Let's restart. Okay,
beer.
Hours of operation.
Don't edit that. Hours of operation are Wednesdays and Thursdays, 2 to 8. Fridays and Saturdays, 11 to 9.
Nice.
And sweet. Sundays from 11 to 8.
8.
Yeah. All right.
You got it.
And...
I'm done and I'm out.
Just in case they don't remember that, your website?
www.barrelhousebrewing.com.
There you go. So if you don't remember, if you're driving up there and you're like, what time do they open? I don't know.
Hey, wait a second.
Am I? Just look them up.
Thursday.
Don't go on Monday. Do not go on Monday and Tuesday. We got that part.
That is correct.
We'll probably still let you in,
but don't show up. I know.
If Cody's there, he'll let
you
open up.
You don't want to say that.
Right. So that's where they can find you online. Distribution-wise, obviously, we just started carrying you guys here. Are you guys kind of making your way down?
Yeah, check the website. So basically from Paso Robles right up in L.A. County and then into the Central Valley, we've got 70 or so tap handles on the Central Coast now.
Nice.
And we're from the Central Valley. We've got a passion for the Central Valley. There's a lot of great people there. So we just started self-distributing there. We've got a awesome distributor here on the Central Coast. It's just been
He took off right now. I was going to talk to him, but Jeff, I don't know where he is.
Those guys have really they've been helping us out. I think he was probably thirsty.
I think he is selling beer, right?
Yeah,
he may be selling
or drinking.
Getting paid should be.
Yeah.
It kind of goes hand in hand.
It goes hand in hand. So there's a number of places, and we're just kind of trying to grow our market share, get our exposure out there, and let people see what we're all about.
Awesome.
So,
Well, it's been fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean, I
think we should end on that note.
So I've had four. Wait, what was the flight?
There was five beers on the flight,
and then because I keep getting confused with the Kolsch I had the other night, which was fantastic. And really, if there's somebody who's like, I don't know about the whole.
Oh, you had the Kolsch at Wade's Wines,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
That was fantastic. So the Kolsch.
So he's had six of your beers.
That's the only word we need.
Kolsch gives me. I get my the top ratings on that Kolsch. The IPA was crazy good.
The double IPA.
The double
awesome.
IPA is fueling all of us right now.
It sure is.
And so I think you know.
And the stout is like one of those like nightcap, just the whiskey stout, not the regular stout.
Definitely. So what I was thinking was maybe just take a 10-minute break. We'll bring Jeff in, but yeah. Then because the last half hour is kind of a
last call,
and so anything goes, nice, and then nice. We can kind of, you know. Well, he doesn't need. He
Ryan's does, gonna stay.
He doesn't need any. He doesn't need any. Any yeah. encouragement to let loose. But the rest of you, you three, I want to see you three cut loose.
No break needed, bro.
You guys go sell your beer. Thanks for coming. We appreciate right. having you guys.
Right. Thanks.
Awesome
for having
talking
us.
To you guys.
Appreciate it.
And we'll make sure we get this all up on everybody's sites and Instagram, Facebook, etc.
Absolutely.
Are we recording this?
No, not at all. We were actually he wasn't. No, we forgot to press record.
Yeah, it's still green. The green means that it's not recording, okay. So we're on good.
10-4.
Correct.
All
right,
thanks again, guys. Thanks for coming down. Really,
hey, thanks for
appreciate
having us.
It.
Your establishment's amazing. We really,
thank you, guys.
We really had a good time.
We look forward to working with you guys.
Thank you.
Good luck.
All right, we'll catch you in
Ryan.
And now back to the show.
Happy hour with Joby and Curtis. Hey, before we get going though,
yes, we have to say something.
Yeah, I've got to plug my ride home. We're driving. Yes, that's your detour right there.
WERE
driving.com. Because what happens is this is a designated driver service, and so before every show actually, I say, hey, can you pick me up at Barrel House or wherever I'm at, and give them a time, and they show up. With a driver. One driver gets in the car with me, drives me and my car home, while another driver follows them back to my place, and then they give in, and they go pick up another.
I don't know how they do it. It's like $30 or something.
So for my ride would be, it's a $25 ride back to Camarillo, and all over the place. I mean, they're driving people back and forth from Santa Barbara and into L.A., you know, for $55, and this is you and your car. So it's a great service. It's a great way to be responsible drinkers, and especially when I've been celebrating IPA Day for, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours now. It's
about.
You might need to call them.
He's already called them.
I certainly need the service. Yes, they will be here in around an hour for me. So I've
do they wash your car as well?
No, that
would be an added value.
Oh, added value. I see an opportunity.
I think I might pass that along to them.
How do deliveries for me?
Do deliveries. Yes. You know, they bring you to if you've
we're
got a
we're
taste.
Driving and delivering.
Yeah, if you well, in a way it is kind of a delivery
the way
service.
It is. It's delivering you. I mean the most important thing is there's no walk of shame in the morning.
Right. And you don't have
we've
to
all walk to our cars while everybody else is going to work and we're going to our cars.
Right. Well, growing up in living in a college town for a number of years, the walk of shame means a different means something different. So whenever I hear people talk about the walk of shame, it's usually a woman walking home from a fraternity.
Well, that's also the walk of shame. But
in her outfit from the night before.
Yeah, right. Well, our walk of shame is you're still in your outfit from the night before. Right. You're picking your friends dropping you off in the parking lot.
You've got dry
and
vomit
you're picking up
in
your
car. Hair.
Dry vomit optional.
Yeah. Generally, I don't get quite that far. So anyway, go visit weirddriving.com and give them a call. Find out how much it'll cost for you to get home safe. And whatever the cost is, it's a priceless sort of investment in your life and certainly the people who love you the most. So give them a call or go to weirddriving.com. All right. So
it's a great segue to distribution.
Distribution.
Driving
right.
beer around.
So We're Driving distributes me home. Distributes me home. And so we've got what I want to make
we've
sure
got
I get
Todd
the
Todd and Jeff.
And
Chris has rejoined us.
He has. I want to make sure I get him in there too.
Heard the cool kids hang out in this area.
That's right.
So I'm going to have Chris scoot that way just a tiny bit.
Uh-oh.
Because, no, you two stay there.
No move.
There you go.
So you guys are from Local Craft Distribution.
All right.
And
yes.
Established 2013.
Yes,
much like Barrel
company.
House also.
Yes.
So
go ahead, Curtis.
Well, I'm really new to distribution. You know, I don't, I know that some breweries can distribute their own things, and I know that some others have to have somebody else do it, and I know that there's this three-tier system, which is oftentimes kind of
I don't know, villainized maybe? I don't know. And meeting you two guys, I can't imagine why it's villainized, but
they don't
but
look like villains.
No, they don't. But so
they would be the second tier on the three-tier system.
Okay, so of the three tiers,
so the first tier would be the brewery manufacturer or winery, whatever it is, the manufacturing end. Then you guys as distribution, and then it would be like us as the retailer slash bar or whatever.
How you get your beer.
How we get our beer.
Okay.
But we don't always get our beer from a distributor because some breweries self-distribute, so it's very confusing.
So without trying to confuse it for me and everyone else, because I don't want to get into the self-distribution, can you kind of tell us what it is specifically that distributors do?
Sure. Basically, Chris, our friends at Barrel House and all these great beer manufacturers make their product, and they can concentrate on making that product perfectly, marketing it, making their brand as good as they can be, and then I'll buy it all from them and resell it to the retailer.
Yeah, you're basically solving the problem, right? You have these guys that are up in Paso. You have guys down here who want the beer. Yeah, they could probably drive it down themselves, but really they need to concentrate on making beer and growing their business like we talked about earlier.
Concentrating on making that brand, you know, as strong as they can and their beer, which is the number one thing, their product the best. And I'm going to concentrate on having great people in the field outselling it, cold storing it at my facility, and getting it out to all these great establishments.
Yeah, now, you know, we have Todd and Jeff here from Local Craft Distribution. When we think of distributors, we think of these like 18-wheelers rolling down the, you know, driving down the road and stopping at these places. Todd, you drove how many miles today?
Oh, I probably did 500 miles today. I left hand delivering kegs to our great little restaurants in the Tri Counties.
Very cool.
Is this like a fifth wheel? Is this
a Saab station wagon?
No, that's what I finished the delivery.
Wait, what is it?
Saab station wagon.
It's very safe.
I finished the deliveries in my wagon today because we had a small amount down here. But I started in a Sprinter box van. I love this.
Okay.
Sprinters
are great.
Something good about the gas mileage in those babies. And filled that thing up at Barrel House, it's been going really strong.
So you started in Paso. No, you started in Goleta.
I actually started in Goleta this morning at my facility, since it's still being completely finished. We're new to this, just as the Barrel House guys are, and started there. Drove to Barrel House.
Paso Robles.
Picked up in Paso Robles, and then made my way all the way down the coast. Ended in Ojai, and then came to see you guys here at this great function.
Very cool. Is this a typical day in the life of a distributor?
Yeah, for it definitely, you're on the road. And I mean, I'm doing this all myself right now because it's a new project, you know. Hopefully when this all gets done, we'll have our central spot and we'll have trucks going in both locations, and it goes from there.
Yeah, I always wanted to make a video of like how your beer gets to your glass.
Yeah.
I haven't really found anybody, so if anybody's listening and wants to help me out, I would love to do that.
I think that would actually
like,
be good for us.
These guys are making it, they're brewing, they're up in the morning, they're putting the grains in, they're brewing, then you're driving it, and then it's getting them, we're putting it in the cooler. That would be a really cool video.
Condense
it into like a minute and a half, 2 minute video, and just be like, how does your beer get to your glass? You know, because I don't think people understand, really. I think we all just take it for granted. Like, we just get beer. Well, yeah, we buy beer and it gets here. Yeah, it's here. Well, it's a big deal. Yeah. It's not a big deal, but it's like there's so much involved. And so I kind of see it as like Jeff goes out there and tries to sell as much as he can. Then you have to deliver it and execute on. And so you guys are always trying to beat each other, or Jeff's trying to beat you.
Well, I mean, I don't want to spread Todd way too thin, so I don't go too far to sell it. But at the same time, if someone really, really wants the beer, I'll meet Todd somewhere to pick up that beer, and I'll take it down in my Saab wagon. Just kidding. We all have Saab wagons. And
we basically just make sure that it's there, and we make sure that it's taken care of, too. And that's the other thing. I think we're going to make sure stuff stays cold, it stays refrigerated. I mean, these beers are it's craft beer. People take pride in what they make, you know, and I'm going to take pride in delivering it and getting out to people, too, the same way,
definitely
keeping it in good condition.
Well, when I said earlier about the kind of villainization of distribution, I mean, as a craft beer geek, we hear plenty of stories of of Budweiser saying, you know, you're not going, we won't distribute you unless we can buy a share of you or whatever it is. And so then, you know, then you start looking at some of the ones that, as a geek, you know, Stone and maybe Sierra Nevada, New Belgium Brewing, you know. And so some of these companies, beer companies who kind of branch out on their own a little bit to distribute so that they don't have to have, I guess, an influence from an outside share, especially something as evil to the craft beer geeks as a Bud Miller's kind of thing buying into you. And that's kind of where you're filling this void where...
Yeah, that was the whole idea, honestly. That was it. I was actually surfing with my partner one day, and I kept bouncing ideas off of him about what I thought this industry needed, you know, and we just came to this point where all right, and then went up and met these guys and this is perfect, you know, let's get after this together, you know, and you guys create this great product, we're gonna get it out to market for you, and it's been a whirlwind since then.
Yeah, you know, if it wasn't for these guys, I mean, we went down that path. I mean, we looked at the Bud houses, the Coors houses, and they were wooing us, giving us all these great, you know, ideas of what could happen.
Right.
But it's in the end, you realize, you know, yeah, they'd be great for a few months, but after that, I mean, they're offering incentives to their reps that we can't offer. You know, they're breaking laws to pay the fines that we can't do. Yeah. And so if it wasn't these guys, we would self-distribute, which we looked at the numbers, and really, even when you end up paying a distributor, you're not really necessarily saving that much by self-distributing. These guys are out there doing what they know best, which is selling the beer.
Right.
You know, taking care of the accounts. They've got draft techs that go through, take care of the lines. I don't want to do that. I want to brew beer and do marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I hope is that there's, you know, these guys are doing an amazing job on the Central Coast. I hope there's more distributors opening up that are kind of handling these smaller areas that can help. These guys, yeah, it was Todd. And must be an account wanting more barrel house.
All right, Todd, sell that beer,
and
man.
And that's what's going to happen, because I feel like this is going to be this venture is going to be able to move down to other areas. You know, we're going to work really, really hard at that, and keep good people in the family. Like, I have great friends that are all just, wow, this is such an amazing venture, and you know. What's going to happen for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely cool walking into a restaurant, talking to a bartender, asking for, you know, the decision maker and who buys the beer for the restaurant, and they're like, this is the coolest thing. Like, we've never heard or seen anyone doing a small craft local distribution company, and they're tired of the big boys.
They either say that or they say that I'm completely out of my mind. because
there's no gray.
You are out of your mind, but that's a good thing.
I mean, because it's all about efficiency, and right now we're not efficient.
No, but you're thinking the big picture.
Yeah,
though.
and that's the dream, you know. It's like, yeah, I'm doing deliveries right now, and you know what? It's actually really fun, because I'm meeting guys like you that I wouldn't be if I was sitting in my office.
Totally.
And that's the whole thing, you know. Yeah, I went out and I was cleaning lines, and I'm learning all this stuff, going, man, this is crazy. There's a lot to do. But with the right brands and the right camaraderie and working with people, it all makes this blend of the right thing, you know.
So Chris and Jason and everybody, they were homebrewers. They opened a brewery. Do you have a background in beer, or did you, or distribution, or logistics?
I have a.
Yeah, you can be honest. If there's zero, that's fine.
Definitely have a background in drinking.
I think we all qualify on that.
I went to San Diego State. It was awful, but I bartended and managed bars.
So you were on the other side.
To pay for college and to do that whole thing, and then I ran a rep company in the surf industry for a long, long time. So I learned the sales part
kind of logistics
of it
and sales.
And even a smaller company where it was I was doing everything for these guys. And then this industry was so intriguing to me because I love the way that people actually get out and help each other. Like these guys work with all these other craft brewers and they talk about things, and it's not so cutthroat. You
right.
know? My industry that I came from was definitely a little... You know, it got to that, went from that $1 million to that billion mark so fast that it just got pretty heavy, you know. And this one seems so rootsy and good. So I was real, I don't know, it's been great. Excited to be a part of it.
I was looking at Curtis, he's like, I have nothing to say.
I don't know, so I guess my background in that is not.
No, that's fine. And you're learning as you go.
It is.
Sales and distribution.
And I love beer more than.
And so you have a fleet of, you have one sprinter?
Right now we have a Sprinter box truck because we have just been going up and coming down. That's going to change. All this is going to change.
And you have the warehouse in Goleta.
Right.
Refrigerated.
And we've gone from, I think we have 60 tap handles in the Tri-Counties in a month.
Very cool.
I mean, it's really cool to see what's going on. I live in Santa Barbara, and to see like what's going on in places that like the Funk Zone and like, you know, and even up in Paso and all these little spots that are kind of booming and they're going to craft, and it's really cool to see because I was banking on it, and it's like they are doing it, so it's great.
Just one added thing, you know, everyone's concentrating on farm to table with all their food, so why can't you bring a beverage to the table that crafted just several
right down the
yeah, right down 100. The way. So
yeah,
it's a great story.
We had a discussion about what is local the other day, and I mean, everyone considers Firestone local. I would consider you guys local, Surf, and all these guys. So 250, if you can drive there, somebody said if you can drive there and have lunch, it's local. So that works for me.
And the distribution company is local as well.
Yeah, right.
I think, yeah, Tri-County, I love this. I drove, so I had an office in LA for, you know, 15 years I've been doing that. And I'm so happy to be in the Tri-Counties and stay here. Yeah, I've lived up here for that long, but I was commuting. And now it's like, I'm so down to drive a truck 500 miles because I was between Paso and Ojai. It's cool.
It's not a bad drive.
I was on cruise control, you know, even though I was in a big box truck. Like, it's beautiful, and I like it. I want it, you know, this place is special like that. Definitely.
Well, I think it's a great introduction for especially beer geeks like me who don't know a lot about the three-tier system, and especially not having a face for a craft distribution. I mean, really, I can only imagine that this is going to be something that will happen or is happening, you know, kind of parallel or simultaneously across the country, where somebody's noticing this and filling the void for these small breweries.
Yeah, there's something about... you mentioned going to one of the bigger guys and being on this side of the business I grew up in this side of the business, and so seeing that flavor of the month type of thing where a distributor is like, they're very hot, they might be hot about Barrel House Brewing this week, and then next week they're hot about
Michelada.
XYZ XYZ Brewing, and everything's getting thrown at them so fast, and then they still have this pressure to sell the big brands that they have in their book. Whereas, you know, Todd and Jeff, they can concentrate on, there's no big brand
and that's
knocking on their
that's
door.
That's exactly it. You know, I don't want to have any more than, you know, 6 to 8 brands. And that's what, and I told these guys that in the beginning, and that's where I'm going at. I think we can be real efficient with that. And honestly, I'm completely vested in working with these guys as our flagship because they do it so well. And, you know, I'm proud of what they do, and we're going to, that's our flagship brand.
So are you telling me you don't have a warehouse full of Bud Light, Clamato? Is that what is that?
Michelob Ultra?
You know what?
Bud Light Aritas.
I never will. And, you know, I think it's funny because I think there's going to be so many more people making beer. It's definitely catching on right now. But it's not necessarily going to be good, and they're not going to necessarily tell the story that I want to sell. So I think that's the other thing. It's like I'm not a very good salesman at all, and I've been doing it my whole life. It's like
that's why you have Jeff.
I can.
Jeff, you're telling us now, Todd. You're not a good salesman.
Thanks.
All right, yeah.
Thanks.
It's about the product and the people that you have behind the product.
Right. It's relationships.
It's about coming in here and going, hey, look, let's make some money at this together, and make sure the public likes what we have to offer, because all it's going to do is turn around and come back to all of us. If you don't do that and you pretend it's something that's going to be good, it's going to fail. So, I don't know. That's what I think.
Well, we wish you continued success. Good luck to you. Yeah. It's great to see all these people who have all started in the last, within a year. That's awesome. So, you know.
Right. And anyone who is.
Anyone who can buy beer. Consumers can't really use this. But
right. So
anybody who's a bar manager. In fact, I see someone right now I'm going to introduce you guys to. So that's perfect. Contact these guys. Local Craft Distribution out of Goleta. Is there. .com.
And then also, I mean, there's plenty of little breweries that are open up all over the place too. So, you know, look for your local distribution company, you know, your craft distributor.
You can't do it yourself, guys.
Right. Well, you can, but it then all of a sudden, what are you doing? You know, then
you can,
then,
but concentrate then on making your brand.
Right,
beer,
yeah. Right.
Know? And then let
your beer. Make beer and let somebody else do the work for
you. Yeah, because you know, if there was anybody out there that could just self-distribute, we could. Right. I mean, not to egotistical, but, you know, we're stupid and creative, and we would have figured a way. But having these guys, number one, they have skin in the game. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not just a big house where we interviewed a ton of reps for these big houses. And you know what they said? I'm going to sell the beer where I get the best commission for.
Yeah, right.
That's not always
the
case.
Well, I get my
us.
Trip to Cabo.
Exactly. Not, you get trips and other things.
Pacifico.
That's definitely not what it's about. So it's about being in the right places. Mm-hmm. You know, you go in these A accounts and get in these right places first, and everybody else is going to want your product. Yeah. It's not.
And, like, I can't be out there chasing accounts down to get paid and different things. Let these guys deal with that. They've got the tools at hand.
Getting paid.
Oh, yeah, getting paid.
Net 30.
Yeah, net 30. It's net 5, right?
Yeah,
is that
right.
What it is? Yeah.
Net 105.
We take cash, just so everybody knows.
So we're throwing out all these terms, obviously, that the consumers never get to hear, but the net 30, net 105, net whatever. But
net, I'll see you.
Yeah, and exactly. But I think that's a good point to kind of cool. End everything here. And I want to thank Todd and Jeff from Local Craft
thank
Distribution.
You. Certainly.
Chris, who came back around, which is awesome, from Barrel House Brewing.
I'm looking for a beer. I don't know how.
There's no beer over here. We're in the back. No. We're in the dungeon.
I've got some in the bag. Open it up.
I looked in there, but it's all hot.
Oh, it's warm.
And
oh,
then we'll thank Jason again from Everybody's Hungry.
Thanks, Jason.
Joining
he's
us.
Back there. Yeah.
Yeah, he's I don't know what he's doing back there.
I don't know. Just listening
blogging.
And joining everything.
Blogging.
So, anyway, next week, Drake's possibly.
Drake's, yeah. We're going to be right back here again. So
Drake's
the next
will be here.
Few Thursdays.
Yeah, and then I'm working on getting a couple other people lined up after that. So next week we'll have the next few weeks lined up, I guess. So you can count on us on Thursdays starting at 7 p.m.
That's
Pacific
right.
time. And whether we're here at Bear House or we're in studio or we're down the street, who knows? But you know where to find us. And, you know, make sure to give our Facebook page a like. Go to
Bear House Brewing.
Bear House Brewing, right? And then I was getting to them. I was going to say iTunes and like Happy Hour, Joby and Chris.
Yeah, make sure you download the podcast.
But then go to Bear House and give them a like, especially on Facebook. And then send
local
craft
distribution.
I want to make sure I get that right. Facebook page or
in works right now.
Yeah, right.
So
website first.
Give them, right, and you can find all their contact information okay. And so if you're interested in distribution and all that kind of good stuff, give them a call.
Excellent. Thanks again, guys.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll catch you next time.
All right. It's happy hour with Joby and Curtis. We'll see you next week.
Sounds good. Cheers.
Hey, thanks for listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. If you like this podcast, make sure you like us on iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook under Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. Give us a like and share it with all your friends. We'd appreciate it. Cheers!